Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 19, 2016. I am Jason Powell, and this is an audio review of the WWE Raw show that aired on Monday, April 18th. The show was taped in London, England, earlier in the day at the O2 Arena. .NET staffer Hayden Gleed in attendance. We also had a .NET reader named Chris who was there, who was very adamant this morning about the fact that he believes that they really did some sound editing on when it came to Roman Reigns. He pointed out that we definitely heard booing. It wasn't like they cranked up the cheers and acted like he was the most over guy in the building. But he said there were, watching the show back, like when Reigns would pause, it was not just him pausing. It was because he couldn't really hear himself, and the boos were so loud, and that didn't come through. So Chris may be onto something with that. By the time many of you hear this, we should have ongoing coverage of the WWE SmackDown taping that is also taking place in London, England, at O2 Arena. Hayden will be back in attendance, as will Chris, and they both combined to do a great job yesterday. So we should have plenty of details on that SmackDown taping, and of course we are looking for correspondence for each and every WWE live event in Europe, or I guess for that matter, well, wherever they go, NXT, TNA, Ring of Honor, you name it, we're looking for updates. So if you end up attending a live show and would like to help us out, you can reach out to me on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet, or you can email me, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Normally, I do the Raw audio review Monday night shortly after the show concludes. In this case, I held off until today because my beloved Minnesota Wild are in the NHL playoffs, and big shock to me. They actually pulled out a win last night. I don't expect great things from the Wild this year, but they're still my team. My other team, the Bruins, and I have two because the North Stars left town, and I had to cheer for someone, so I adopted the Bruins. They didn't make the playoffs. The Wild entered as an eighth seed, fell down 2-0, looked horrible in game one, and then were down 2-0 last night in the first 5 minutes. I'm like, well, get the brooms ready. This is going to be a sweep. But they came back and pulled it out, and suddenly it feels like we have a series. If Dallas wins the next one and they go back to Dallas, it's not going to feel like it. But hey, at least for today, it feels like a series. But that's the reason that I held off on doing the audio review. Typically, we do these again Monday nights coming out of the show. Let's work our way through this. We had Michael Cole, Byron Saxton, JBL on commentary. 16,956 fans in attendance. And yes, the trusty phone booth was there. They had the taxi cab. They did not have the double-decker bus. People have pointed out that it's not always the taxi. Sometimes they really go crazy and shake things up when they're in London and go with the double-decker bus. But it was taxi cab this time. I don't know why they just continue to go with this same old basic set whenever they go to London. Things open up with Dean Ambrose making his way out for the Asylum segment. The Ambrose Asylum, it's his new talk show segment. The first of two talk shows during this edition of Raw. By the way, I should say, just quick overall thoughts on the show, and I'll definitely get into more details, but a step back from last week, better than they are sometimes when they go to London. Sometimes you'll get some really good matches in London, but I kind of like that mix of, well, good matches combined with some decent storytelling. They didn't put the storylines on hold. We get some good advancement with the Anderson and Gallows story that I was not expecting. If you listen to my audio show yesterday, I really thought they just, we're going to get more of the same, and maybe they do something at the Payback show. But now it looks like they're building up to doing something big at the Payback show, rather than just a quick sneak attack on that doesn't ultimately mean something. It certainly looks like they are going to play a part in that main event between AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. And so very interesting, but we'll get to that. Ambrose introduced Shane McMahon as his special guest. Yes, Shane is back. The Undertaker stipulation means nothing. Do most people care? I mean, I hate to be that way because I definitely like cohesive story. I want things to make sense in WWE. And when it comes to the Shane McMahon Undertaker storyline, things don't make sense. But I think people are giving them a pass for the most part. Not everyone. There's definitely some critics out there, and fair enough. But I just think we're so tired of the whole heel authority figure nonsense that it's just refreshing. And it's like, all right, the stipulation doesn't, it doesn't make any sense other than you can rationalize it that, well, Vince is a crazy old man, and he's just He's giving Shane control just because. I mean, it really is that simple. That's the storyline, and you either buy it or you don't. I don't like that. You know, I wish they would have come up with something better than this, but I like seeing Shane in power, the character. Doesn't even have to be Shane. It's not like he's overwhelming me with his performances or anything. Just give me a neutral or babyface type authority figure rather than what we've seen for so many years now. But Ambrose ended up showing the footage. He set it up and they showed the footage of Shane performing the elbow drop off the Hell in a Cell structure at WrestleMania. They did not cut out the part where you could see the crash pad slowly deflating, but still, Ambrose said it's perhaps one of the only times that it's made him ask what the hell somebody else was thinking in the ring. And Shane said, oddly enough, he takes that as a compliment. And he asked him about his agenda as the leader of Raw. Pretty generic here. Shane just said it's all about the fans, and there's a new era in WWE, and now superstars who never received a chance are getting opportunities. And he listed AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks as examples of this. Wait a minute, wasn't Sasha in the title match at WrestleMania? I'd say she got her opportunity. Sami was out hurt, and AJ Styles is new to the scene, and as far as WWE is concerned, obviously, and lost his match at WrestleMania. So not exactly the three best choices. I would have worked in something about Apollo Crews, and I know he's trying to say people who are kind of working their way up the ladder, basically, but it just doesn't really ring true when you stop and think about it. But Shane said, it's all because of the fans that we have arrived. Kevin Owens interrupted. He said, this is the same old crap he's seen for years. Another McMahon having an issue with the top superstar of his generation. Of course, he thinks he's the top superstar of his generation. And Shane said he has no issue with him. He complained about being removed from the building last week and then was blaming Sami Zayn, and just saying he's not deserving and blah, blah, blah. Well, out comes Sami. And he laughs at the idea of riding Owens' coattails, as Kevin was claiming, and saying that, hey, I was signed first, which is true. Good logic here. I like that he's coming up with things that, you know, the Owens character is great. He just goes on these rants, and it's fun when the babyface can just say, yeah, that's not true, and this isn't true. And it just, you know, it flusters Owens, or he just doesn't have a comeback for it. Owens plays it so well, and he's such a good talker that any heat that he loses by somebody poking a hole in one of his comments, he just gets right back. It doesn't matter. But he said Owens knows deep down that he would not have been signed by WWE if it wasn't for him, which may be very true. Who knows? He said that Owens made a career out of stabbing his friends in the back. Out comes Chris Jericho. And he is the only person in the ring with any brains aside from Owens. And he said that he never liked Shane, then or now, and he's drunk with power. And he was all pissed off because he took away the highlight reel. I'm like, oh no, we're having a talk show segment and we're getting people complaining about losing a talk show segment. Little did I know. Well, I guess I did because of the spoilers, but we were going to get another talk show segment. Shane said it was about new opportunities and encouraged Jericho to watch his old talk show on WWE Network. I'm like, oh no, don't give the $9.99 plug. He did not. The wrestlers were bickering and Ambrose yelled, hey, be careful around the plant, that plant that he brings to the ring with him. Has he named it yet? He really should. I named a plant. And as a matter of fact, I had a little cactus plant that I named Dean, not because of Ambrose, but Dean didn't make it when he was transferred from one pot to the next. It was a very sad moment in our household. Poor, poor Dean. God rest his plant soul. Shane booked Jericho against Ambrose and Owens against Wyatt for payback, which is shaping up to be a really nice show on paper. I just the build to it, you know, I mean, it's been steady, nothing overwhelming, but just looking at some of these matches on paper, I'm like, this is gonna be fun. Shane said tensions are getting too high, so he stepped out of the ring. Ambrose grabbed his plant, which is not named Dean apparently, and asked Shane to hold it for him. And Ambrose removed his jacket and then went after Owens. Zayn cleared Jericho from the ring, and then he and Ambrose cleared Owens from the ring. So the babyface is stand tall going into a commercial break, and when we came back, we ended up with Chris Jericho beating Sami Zayn in 12:30. There was a commercial break during this match, so in a bit still, good long match. I think I'd like to see, kind of like Styles and Jericho early on, I think this was probably, I enjoyed this match, I think, more than the first Styles and Jericho match, believe it or not, as far as just like, I thought the work was a little more crisp, but I do think that give these guys more time and they're going to really be able to deliver a strong performance. There was a couple of times where just looked at like the timing was a little bit off or they're a little unsure of themselves. Zayn, I think there was one point where he was running to the corner where he was kind of taking baby steps, or if he's in there with a guy who he works with consistently or just is more familiar with, he's, you know, just hitting that at a different speed, basically. But I still enjoyed this. It was a good match, and I liked the finish a lot. It was Zayn ends up going for his finisher. Jericho sits down, hides his face between the ropes. So he was going for the Huluva kick, and that's when Jericho hid. And then as the referee is in there, Zayn tries to like grab Jericho, who then poked him in the eyes. The referee didn't see it, and then he hit the code breaker and pinned him. Now, I like the finish because, number one, it keeps some heat on Jericho, which is good. But I think more importantly, they're not just making Sami Zayn this dominant babyface right out of the gate. It's odd that they placed him kind of at the IC title level to begin with, but the key, I think, is just making fans want to see it. And if you just start giving him wins, well, then I just kind of fear he'd run its course quickly. He's an underdog type character. And so when he loses matches, yeah, in the short run, people are going to complain like, oh my God, he's losing. But it kind of leaves them wanting to see that moment where he finally gets a meaningful win. And I'm just hoping that's WWE's approach on this. I don't know that it is. They may just be like, oh, he lost. Nothing more to it than that. But I'm hoping that they have stopped and kind of thought this through and think, yeah, underdogs don't need to win all the time. He can lose more than he wins for now. And when the time is right and we've established this guy and the fans are really behind him, then we start giving him a big, you know, the big wins. It just doesn't feel like it's that time right now. But looking forward to his match with Kevin Owens. That's going to be a lot of fun. We had Mauro Ranallo interviewing AJ Styles, who was immediately distracted when Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson walked into the picture. Before we get to that, I will say Mauro Ranallo putting out there on Twitter that he was just filling in for Renee Young. Apparently, she reportedly had some visa issue that kept her from going, but Renee will be back in this slot next week. So, but still, cool to see Mauro on Raw. I sure wish he was sitting at the broadcast table in place of Michael Cole, but I don't think we should be holding our breath waiting for that to happen. Styles introduced Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson by name and just basically asked Mauro if he could take it from here. He hugged Anderson, did the two sweet fist bump with Luke Gallows, and Gallows said that he appreciated Styles putting in a good word for them, and Anderson said he couldn't thank Styles enough. Gallows said they're going to make the most of their opportunity, just as he's going to at Payback. And then Anderson said, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, AJ. Just friendly, joking stuff, not heelish. And Gallows asked if they, and AJ just kind of laughed, and Gallows asked if they could find a spot to catch up, because he has to work through a few hazy details about their last night together. So all friendly here, and then Cole said that Styles, Gallows, and Anderson ran together in New Japan, so he at least acknowledged that history. I don't think there was any mention of the Bullet Club. They've been, like, the website has no problem bringing it up, but I don't think they've mentioned it here during this segment. They attacked the Usos last week. Could have been a moment for AJ to, you know, bring up that, hey, I'm, you know, kind of friends with those guys. I'm okay. I mean, because we kind of got to some of this a little bit later. But I think they could have worked it in if they wanted to. From there, we went to Enzo Amore and Big Cass making their entrance, doing a full entrance routine, and the crowd really into the stuff they were familiar with. Then Enzo had a riddle, and it just was kind of like words within words, like end in friend. It wasn't really a riddle. He just said there's a dud in Dudley Boys. I don't think Edward Nygma on Gotham would have been very impressed by this riddle. Enzo said there's nothing silicone about he and Cass are real, whether you like them or not. They did the soft bit to close it, and then they beat the Dudleys to advance in the tag tournament. This was Bubba. Enzo sold for a bit. Cass comes in, cleans house a little bit, puts Bubba down with a big boot, tags in Enzo. They did the rocket launcher with Enzo landing on Bubba and pinning him, so they advanced to the finals of the tournament. As I've been saying, you know, I mean, I had a couple of different scenarios for how this would play out yesterday. I don't think they're going right to Enzo and Cass and New Day. As fun as that mic work is going to be when the time is right, is it right with, you can jump on Enzo and Cass if you feel like they're hot, but New Day, I mean, they're baby faces. They teamed with Cesaro on this show. It's kind of an odd setup if that's the case. I think what's going to happen is something one of the scenarios I mentioned where the Dudleys end up preventing them from winning in the next round. I mean, it could be that way at the pay-per-view too, I guess. But I think that maybe because that match takes place at Payback, the finals of this tournament, so maybe the Dudleys do something there. And the reason I think that, now plans can change, but it sure looked to me like they were setting up a real program with Enzo and Cass against the Dudleys, not just, oh, they're going to meet in the semifinals, so let's build an angle for that. I don't think that's what it was at all. So I think what we're seeing now is just this was step one, and the Dudleys are about to get their revenge, is my best guess. Roman Reigns made his entrance. Loud boos. He held up the title belt on the stage, was booed even more. Then we had JBL talking about the Reigns and Styles match at Payback, and he said it was a match that he thought would never be made. And Reigns delivered his. So maybe you've heard it before. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm just the guy. I like the line a lot. I don't know. They need to kind of save it for key times, and I don't know that this is one of them. I don't want to see that run into the ground where you say, okay, it's just a catchphrase. And there's times to use it. I hope they're a little more creative about how they get to it. But Reigns just, he praised Styles, called him a tough guy and a travel champion and a great wrestler. And he said, I guess that makes him phenomenal. Reigns paused for a Styles chant and then said, AJ's going to try to out-wrestle him, but it's not going to work because he's going to bring the big fight. Reigns said, anyone else who thinks that they are in this new era of WWE can come get some too. And he said it's because this is the era of the Roman Empire. The crowd booed. Reigns smirked before saying, and we're here to stay. And then AJ made his entrance, and he gave Reigns credit and said he thinks that he's one heck of a champion. And Styles said that despite what the fans may think, Reigns has it all. All right. He said that he will have to have the match of his life in order to beat him. And this is where the line I really like. But having the match of my life is what I do. And he said that's why WWE came calling and he will become the champion at Payback. Fans chanted yes for this. And Reigns said he felt everything Styles just said. And the crowd booed. And Reigns said he had the match of his life at WrestleMania. Are we talking 31 against Lesnar? Yeah, that was pretty good. Oh. And that's where he became champion. No, he didn't win the title. Seth Rollins won the title. He's not talking about the match with Triple H, is he? All right. Reigns said the fans like Styles, but they won't like it when he beats him at Payback. And Reigns said the fans will respect him. He said he'd rather be respected with the title than liked without it. And Styles said he would rather be liked and respected because that's what will make him a phenomenal champion. Let me pull back on the phenomenal, just a little. Styles' music played, he left the ring, and Cole said that there's a big match feel. At that point, no, not really. I'm looking forward to the match, but no, I didn't feel like it was they'd really generated this big match feel. It doesn't help that the last meaningful moment we saw from AJ at WrestleMania was him losing. I know he won the four-way. I know. I guess you can call that meaningful, but still. I mean, that loss to Jericho, still fresh in my mind. And so I'm not looking at him as like this strong challenge. He's not going in with a ton of momentum, you know? But things got better because Anderson and Gallows, as Styles is leaving, they'd attack Reigns from behind. Styles just kind of turned and watched this, and Gallows hoisted up Reigns, and Anderson caught him with the running kick, and then AJ looked a little disappointed, but we didn't get to see them. We just saw one of their arms kind of pat him on the shoulder, and Styles kind of looking down and looking up at them going, yep. You know, so it was well done here with AJ not endorsing this, not like joining them in the ring for a beatdown, looking like he didn't expect this. He also kind of knows what these guys do. I thought they did a nice job of telling that story without having AJ say anything. It works if you're a fan who doesn't know these guys and their history, and it certainly works if you're a fan who does. That AJ is, you know, he's very aware of what these guys typically do, and he was part of it. So, you know, I mean, they're friends, but they got more into it a little bit later. We got a little bit more from them. We got a commercial for Countdown with Kane as a cop. Dolph Ziggler is a plainclothes cop, and it even features, apparently there's some wrestling portion of this, because Rusev was in wrestling gear asking to see Dolph's badge, and then Dolph super kicked him. Wow. They went to a commercial. When they came back, we got the recap of Anderson and Gallows attacking Reigns, and then backstage, AJ approached Roman and told him he had no idea what was going to happen, and Reigns asked if he expected him to believe it. And Reigns said he knows those are AJ's boys, and he brought them to WWE. He said they attacked his cousins last week and now him this week, and Reigns told him to start telling the truth. And I was kind of hoping AJ would have been like, I am telling you the truth, and if you're too stupid to listen to it, you know, something, just stand up for himself a little bit. And he's still kind of being apologetic, and it's like, I don't know, there was something about it that just didn't sit right with me. It wasn't horrible, but Styles said they are his friends, but he doesn't need them in order to beat Reigns for his title. That part I liked. It just could have been a little stronger. And Reigns told him to bring all of his friends and said that it won't matter. Third match was Baron Corbin beating Fandango in 125. Dolph was on commentary for this. Corbin ended up giving him, Dolph that is, the end of days on the floor again. So he finished Fandango off with that. I think they feel obligated to like put Fandango out there whenever they're in England because those fans still dance for that thing, but then they don't show it on TV. How about you just drop the Fandango thing and get us a repackaged Johnny Curtis, please? But and fine for Corbin. He looks, I thought he had a good showing this week. I think he is making an impression with fans who don't watch NXT, even if it is just beating up Dolph. I like this better than the debut where he beat up Dolph on Raw. I hope that he just plows through Dolph fairly easily. You know, I mean, Dolph can have some hope spots in there, but I think, and I'm guessing that's the plan. I don't want to see Baron Corbin locked in a 3-month feud with Dolph Ziggler or anything like that. I just think he needs to be climbing the ladder at a steady pace. The broadcast team hyped an 8-woman tag match, and then we had Miz and Maryse backstage. There was a spilt cup of soda in front of them as they were walking. Miz made a man take his jacket off and cover the spill so that they could walk over it. And then we ended up with Cole hyping, Miz TV is next. I'm like, oh, God. And then they went to a commercial. We got Titus O'Neil and Natalya featured in an anti-smoking ad. Titus' suspension is over, so he can pop up any day now. But as far as the Miz thing, I guess we'll kind of get into it as we work our way into the segment. But I guess the one thing that jumped out at me is the man just kept going. He didn't even pick up his suit. I mean, I know. Sucks to dry clean. Why would you do this? Why wouldn't you just be like, go screw yourself? But I guess they don't want us to think. Anyway, we got the latest Primo and Epico vignette. They really, really love Puerto Rico. I don't know how this is going to lead to real heat for them, that they are proud of where they come from. I mean, overly proud, but it's better than Los Matadores. It just is. Then we went to the Miz TV segment. Miz just talking, you know, William and Catherine, Kate, have nothing on him and Maryse, and they had a kiss, and then Miz asked for a little more, and they really started laying it on thick, and that's when they were interrupted by Cesaro's music. Miz said, Cesaro told him the only thing royal about you is that you're a royal pain in the ass, and Miz said he's a leading man, and Cesaro is a supporting actor. The fans chanted boring at Miz, and while Cesaro was conducting them, then Miz decided to deliver a monologue with a twist. It was from the movie Taken. It wasn't very entertaining, and the fans were chanting boring even more. And then Maryse called for action, and he delivered the lines, and then at the end of this, he decided that, it just felt a bit rushed. He needed another take, so he did part of it. He didn't go through the whole thing again. And then when he went for a third, Cesaro cut him off and says, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. He had his own line, and it was Roddy Piper's classic line, the bubblegum line from They Live. And then Miz asked Cesaro, if Cesaro wanted to fight on the spot, and he said there's nothing he'd rather do. Oh, but Cesaro's already scheduled for a match. Well, out comes Rusev, and he's joined by Sheamus and Del Rio. And Cesaro then says, yeah, he spoke to Shane and spiced things up. This led to New Day being introduced as his partners for a big 8-man tag match. The crowd was red hot for New Day. They were really into seeing them in the whole entrance. They went to a commercial when they came back. It was Cesaro, Kingston, Big E, Woods beating Miz, Del Rio, Rusev, and Sheamus in 13:25. So they filled a lot of time before Cesaro performed the neutralizer on Sheamus and pinned him to win the match. Sheamus replacing King Barrett as the guy, I guess, who would have normally lost this match. Well, actually, Barrett probably would have stood on the outside and done very little. Maybe. And now that he's back, but kind of interesting. We'll see if he shows up tonight at SmackDown. If he doesn't, gotta kind of wonder, is Barrett done completely? I guess I just haven't heard. I mean, there was the report that he was leaving once his deal expired in, like, June. But once he was written out, I mean, I thought we'd still see him around, even if he was kind of buried on his way out the door. But they're in London, and we didn't see King Barrett at all? Maybe tonight at the SmackDown taping. Backstage, Mauro Ranallo interviewed Charlotte. She had Ric Flair. Natalya shows up, and they talked about Natalya said she made the champion tap, and Shane granted her a title match at Payback. And then she announced that, Flair has Charlotte. She now has Bret the Hitman Hart in her corner. Uncle Bret will be there. Charlotte and Flair, of course, not exactly happy about this. Yes, they did this in NXT, and people are going to point that out. I don't care. It's still Ric Flair in one corner, Bret Hart in the other. I think it can be fun. And, you know, Jake Barnett, I really wondered if they were going to do this at one point, going back, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, if this would be something they would set up for WrestleMania. And they didn't, and Jake Barnett was right that you don't want the legends overshadowing the women. And he feared that would happen if they did that at WrestleMania. And he was right. Now I think, I mean, Natalya's as established as she's going to be. They could do so much more with her, obviously, but you kind of know what she is at this point. And then Charlotte, I think, has become a strong enough personality where, you know, they're good about limiting Flair's mic time and letting her be the star. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously they share some of the spotlight with the legends at ringside, with Flair and Bret. But I think the personalities are strong enough that fans aren't just going to be obsessed with what they are doing on the outside, not watching the match. I think we've reached that point. So good timing for this. And yeah, again, they did it at NXT, but I don't mind. I still want to see it again, especially now that Charlotte and Flair are such strong heel personalities. I am a bit surprised that they just keep bringing Bret back, no matter what he says about the company, no matter what he says about Triple H. I guess good for them. Cole hyped the Total Divas finale for Tuesday. That's today. Oh my, the end of Total Divas for the season. But never fear, we're getting Total Bellas coming up sometime in the fall. That's right, Total Bellas. The most interesting thing about that, Daniel Bryan was listed for it. I honestly, I don't even know what else to say about Total Bellas. Fifth match was as if the 8-man tag match filler match wasn't enough for you. Now it's time for some 8 female filler match stuff. I mean, not exactly filler because it had a point, but it was Natalya, Paige, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch beating Charlotte, Summer Rae, Naomi, and Tamina in 10:25. It was Natalya ended up applying the sharpshooter on Charlotte and getting her to tap for the win. So, I mean, you know, obviously they're setting up that match, but it did. You go from the second talk show segment of the night into a long, basically filler match, even though the crowd liked New Day. Once things settled down, it was just kind of a match. They settled down right along with it. And then into this match where they were excited to see whenever one of the baby faces would tag in, they got cheered, especially Paige being from England. But then once they got that out of the way, then it just kind of settled in, and it just was like, okay, we're in filler mode at this point in the show. We ended up with a recap of the drama involving Styles, Reigns, Anderson, and Gallows, and then backstage, Styles was shown talking with Anderson and Gallows. No sound on this, but Styles was doing the talking, and it kind of looked like Anderson and Gallows were looking and kind of conceding and not exactly, you know, like, okay. It wasn't like Styles was high-fiving them about what they did or anything like that. And so obviously the mystery is AJ in on this? And that's what they're going to play up. I don't think he is. I think AJ, and I may be reading it wrong. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. Either AJ is totally in on this and is just playing the nice guy role now, and it's going to be a big swerve. But I also think it strikes me as more likely that they're working for someone else, or with someone else, I should say, whether it is a Balor Club type thing, whether it's Balor Club with Triple H being the one kind of pulling the strings and bringing them in to get his revenge on Roman, and even AJ in the process, so they can say that that's what Balor and, you know, Hunter wanted the revenge on Roman, these guys wanted the revenge on AJ, not really revenge, but, I mean, there's a way to do it, I think. Hunter doesn't get the title off of him, or maybe he does, but I still think there's a way to do it. I'm not explaining it well, but I think there's a way to do it where it makes sense if Hunter is tied into this somehow. I hope he's not, but I do fear that that is a possibility. I think that somehow or another, these guys play into the main event finish at Payback, and I don't think it results in AJ becoming the new champion. We've seen Roman have very brief title reigns, including the 5-minute special. I don't think they went through all that hassle at WrestleMania to put the title on him to have him lose it here. And so that's why I'm kind of skeptical that AJ's in on this, and it's, you know, Anderson and Gallows are going to help him win the title. I don't see it. So I think it's going to go in a different direction, probably with Balor. I mean, we've run through some of the other candidates. Seth Rollins is a possibility. There's different ways they can go about this. But anyway, we went to the Vaudevillains beating the Usos to advance in the tag title tournament. So it's the Vaudevillains facing Big Cass and Enzo Amore in the finals. 3 minutes and 15 seconds it took. It was the Whirling Dervish. They did give the Usos an out because Jay had his shoulder taped to sell the beatdown angle from last week involving Anderson and Gallows. Nothing from the Usos about Anderson and Gallows. No matter what happens to these guys, they still come out and do the same chants at the beginning. More often than not, they could be beaten up the week before and they're still smiling and all happy on the way to the ring. And I don't remember if they were all smiling and happy, but it was just like, really, we can't hear from these guys? They have nothing to say. No one thought, hey, we should go ask the Usos about Anderson and Gallows attacking them. I mean, if you're just putting yourself in the storyline world, like, it's just dumb. I don't know why they refuse to give these guys personalities. From there, we had Michael Cole asking Byron Saxton, what do you think of when I say Apollo Crews? Saxton says, five-star athlete, strength, agility. And then Cole set up a video package for Crews. Certainly not as good as what we saw at NXT, where they really focused on his personality. But you got a little bit of him talking, and you got a lot of his in-ring action. And I thought it was a good piece. Not great like NXT, but good by raw standards, just kind of knowing what they do with these things. And it was funny at one point. So you had Saxton saying that he's a five-star athlete. Well, then during the match, Cole was kind of quoting Byron, he thought, by saying he's a five-tool athlete. I'm guessing Cole is a huge baseball fan, maybe even a fantasy baseball fan. That's where I start to hear five-tool come into play. And I think, isn't he a big Mets fan? I could be wrong. He's a Texas guy, so for all I know, it's the Astros. But I think there's a baseball thing there. And they did call him on it, so they had a little fun with that. With JBL, of course, working in that Byron is actually a tool. Apollo Crews beat Heath Slater in 4:15. There was a gimmick they set up before this. It aired on the pre-show with the Outcast trying to recruit Crews. And he said he would join them if one of them could beat him on Raw. But if not, they have to leave him alone forever. Well, he is not a member of the Social Outcast. Easy for me to say as a bald guy, but I'd put my hair on the line before I'd like run the risk of having to be in Social Outcast. We went to as Apollo was leaving, Kevin Owens' music plays, and he comes out, and they just had a very brief look at one another. They kind of crossed paths. No, Owens wasn't talking smack to him or anything like that. But I kind of like that. Okay, so they're just a little tease of things to come with Owens and Crews, which could be a lot of fun. That one I'm looking forward to. That could really help put Crews on the map in WWE. I did notice, I mentioned that with the Vaudevillains, I mentioned in my report that they're not getting the same love that a lot of the NXT acts get when they get to the main roster. I just don't think it's a... I was never wowed by the gimmick in NXT. It caught on a little bit around the time they won the tag titles, and that was about it. It's just kind of this clunky thing. I think it plays better in a studio rather than on the main roster. I'm curious to see if they can make this work somehow. I think they're both talented guys. I'd like to see them succeed, but I don't know that the Vaudevillains is long-term more than a Superstars gimmick. Superstars main event type thing where they're trading wins and losses on there. I hope they have some way to transition away from this. Chris, who was at the SmackDown taping, even suggested that they end up becoming Miz's guys and with kind of a modern spin on it. They turn their vaudeville act into up-to-date movie stars. And I can't say it jumps off the page of me, but I think it's better than the whole Vaudevillains thing, and I it's just not really not firing on all cylinders. And then you also have the whole deal with Crews, and he's getting nice reactions. I think part of the issue with Crews is that he never really had that glorious NXT run. People weren't all fired up about Apollo Crews getting there because, let's face it, it just was just in the main roster, that is, because he wasn't like he never had this full run in NXT where people really got invested in him. The peak of his time there was those video packages, really. But I still think he can work out. I have much higher hopes for Apollo Crews on the main roster than I do the current Vaudevillain act. But again, hopefully they can change the Vaudevillain act so in some way so that these guys have a chance. The Camp WWE premiere airs on May 1st on WWE Network. Then But gotta admit, as somebody who kind of gets a kick out of like South Park and Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, those types of show, kind of curious to see what the WWE version of it is. So far, it looks like Vince McMahon is really over the top, as you'd expect. And then Undertaker just looks like a little goth kid. And the one that stands out is like everyone else looks fairly true to what their, you know, their character is, except for Ric Flair, who's like 1980s Ric Flair. And he just, I think he was like humping a tree or something. He looks even more over the top than Vince does. So we'll see. It could be really good. It could be really bad. AJ Styles is the guest on Miz TV on SmackDown. I'm like, oh shit, we're back to that. I like when they get excited about SmackDown, when they move times or networks or nights, whatever, because they start advertising it 2-3 things in advance. And then in this case, it's just, we're already back to, we didn't write anything, just go with Miz TV. So on a show where we already had two talk show segments, the thing they hype for the next show is a talk show segment. You guys. I mean, it makes sense. You want to get the answers out of AJ. I don't think you need Miz out there to get the answers, though. I think it could be Michael Cole is going to interview AJ. Just somebody else. I don't know that it needs to be a talk show segment. I would have taken more notice that it had been, hey, Michael Cole, Mauro Ranallo, whoever you want to do, is going to be interviewing AJ Styles and, you know, he's going to be asking the obvious questions about this whole Anderson and Gallows thing, because it's Miz TV, and we see what Miz does and the whole shtick, and he and AJ actually had a good segment together on Miz TV, but it's just, that's what you hype. You don't have any matches, nothing. Dean Ambrose comes out for the main event, and then it's he ended up beating Kevin Owens in 17-15. Good match, nothing earth-shattering, but he won with the Dirty Deeds. I mean, I like the match. I don't want to downplay too much. I thought it was fine, but it was not like your one. I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetting past shows, and I can't, it just seems like, don't they usually close London with more of a great in-ring type match, and I think Owens is capable of it. I think Ambrose is good, but not necessarily going to be working that style. He's, you know, more of a brawler type. It was fine. It just didn't feel special. You know, they're trying to sell this as Shane McMahon setting this up and how unique it is, and it's like, oh, come on. How many times do we see this match when the Authority were in power? So that part was just kind of eye-rolling. We had Chris Jericho attacking Ambrose after the match and putting him down with a codebreaker. So they're doing a little bit to spotlight the Jericho-Ambrose feud, which I think needs it. I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks here with some mic work, I guess, tomorrow, you know, Thursday SmackDown, and then next week's television are all we have, isn't it? So, they need to, you know, hopefully this was step one, and by the time it gets here, it'll feel a little more significant than it does. And really, that's the same for the whole show. I mean, I other than the main event, I think a lot of these matches look good on paper, but the build could improve, and hopefully it does. But that is going to do it for today. Hey, if you enjoyed this type of full-length audio review, know that we do this for the major television shows and pay-per-view events at ProWrestling.net. If you were interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page, and once you're there, you'll see the sign-up area. Rates start as low as $7.50 for 1 month. However, you can save yourself some money by checking out our six-month and annual options. We would love to have you on board. So if audio is your thing, know that we have a ton of it available for you. I'm not sure on the rest of the audio schedule as far as the All Access side goes for the rest of the week. There will be something, whether it's a Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, me returning in this slot tomorrow. Not quite sure what it is yet. Waiting to hear from Will on that. Will Pruitt, of course, and then we'll figure it out from there. But thank you so much for listening, and please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Give us a rating on iTunes. It's really appreciated, and thanks to everybody who has been retweeting when I put out the All Access Daily Podcast link on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. So again, until next time, take care, everybody.